We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is my brother in Christ, Ernie Aragon. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Great. Actually, great this morning. It's a good morning for me. I got here a little late, so but it was a good morning getting it started because I'm excited about what I'm going to be bringing today. So.
Well, I'm excited for you to bring it. So glad that you have agreed to come and share and sit at this table and share some food with us.
Amen.
Some spirit food. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all. Would you pray to start us out?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to bring your word and to ears that need to be open and heard, Father. This word that I got today is a very strong one, and it might be a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, Father, but I hope their hearts are open, their minds are open, their soul is receptive to what comes out, Father. And then I just pray for every one of us here, Father, that is working and doing this ministry. And I pray for all the equipment to go sound perfectly and nothing to go wrong in any form or manner, Lord. And then I give thanks and I give praise for the day that we have in front of us, Lord, and just praise and glory to you all the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title. The True Reality?
Yeah, The True Reality.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
we were talking about that this morning about how he spelled it. I was like, did I spell it wrong or something? But I think it's right. It's the true reality of the spiritual realm. And where I'm going from about the true reality and what I'm saying is that most people, even some Christians, don't really understand that there is a war going on, and that war is between good and evil, obviously, and the victims are humans. Sadly, we've all been in a position, if you're a believer and you're Christ, you're born again, have the Holy Spirit in you, you know the enemy tries to do everything underneath the sun to pop open your shell, get underneath your armor, and mess with you. Through time, we've learned how to deal with the enemy, how to combat him, and how to keep him at bay. But with this, where I'm going from today on this, and this verse has been on my heart for a while. It's just really been emphasized this past month because of what we're going to be going into next month. And I ain't talking about Thanksgiving. It has nothing to do with that. Next month, November 8th, we're going in it's the election for the primaries. And just a lot of things have happened in the last couple of months of where I've seen how the influence of the enemy has really put his claws into our politics. And this verse that we're going to be going into is going to break it down so you kind of understand where I'm coming from with this verse. But this verse in itself can be used in many different directions of understanding, but it's knowing. It's one of those situations, again, of knowing your enemy. And I've done some other teachings on the armor of God. I've done some teachings about knowing your God. There's actually a part one, part two, and a few other teachings that have to deal around this. But it's Ephesians 6. And now that whole chapter, if you read through it, it's really great. It's got a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of armament for you, and it gives you the depiction of who and what the enemy is, and where this all stems from. And it's a space that you and I can't see. It's something that we can't really taste, feel, and sense. You can through the Holy Spirit. Some people call it a sixth sense that they have, that like something's not right or not going wrong. But we know as believers, that's the Holy Spirit kind of telling you, hey, you know, it's not right. So my connection with all this is that because we are going into this election, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be deflected onto participating and going. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be out there showing and saying deception. Either side of the party, they're doing it right now. If you're watching anything on TV right now and you're seeing the commercials, they're slinging hash on each other. That's politics. That's what they do. The thing that you have to do is you yourself have to go and research the people that are running for these places in office and understand how it relates to you. Now, as a Christian, as a believer, we have a foundation to start from and work our way forward to know who we should be voting for and then putting in those places to keep this state the way that it is right now. And I'll just say it this way. Another reason I'm coming at you this way is I'm formerly from California. I like to call myself a refugee from California. And I've seen how the politics have went in there and how they have continually keep going. Now, praise God, my kids are all out of California. I finally got my daughter out of here this summer. She moved her and her family out of here. So that's one less thing I have to worry about. I still got family members that are there, and I love them, and I pray for them. It's just I know where that state is going, and the only way the truthful way that this is going to change or be moved or anything is going to be a miracle of God. To put people of God into these places and change that state around. So anyways, we are going into Ephesians 6:12. And I'm going to go just start with the NIV to give you the basis of where we're coming from. And this is what it says. It's, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." And so there are some other translations that I wanted to give you because they give good points on how the way that they described it. So there's the EVS, and I'm just pointing out the ones that have obviously changed the wording on it to give you more of a bigger view of what we're looking at. So the power of this dark world is cosmic powers over the present darkness. That's from the EVS. There's spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The King James version is rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the NASB, it says world forces of this darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And the NLT is evil rulers and authorities and of the unseen world, and then mighty power in this dark world, and evil spirits in heavenly places. So they're all basically kind of the same thing, but they're saying things in a little different way, so you can understand that there is a world out there that we can't see. That there are spiritual forces that are influencing how we move and maneuver through our world. And the sad fact of the matter is, and I always use this reference because there's a truth in it. There's a movie called The Matrix, and when Neo is talking with Morpheus is describing him. There's a scene where they come into what we know as the world that we live in right now, and it's a made up world. It's not for real world. And he describes in one sentence saying he goes, if you're not one of us, you're one of them, and there is a multitude of them out there, and the one of them can be influenced by the programming. And be changed at that moment into what they need to have at that in that particular time. If you haven't seen the movie, go see that movie. Just watch the whole thing. The cool thing about it, there's a lot of religious reference in it, Christian religion reference to the whole movie, actually all the whole series. But there's a point that he points out to that, is that, yes, there's an unseen force that's in between our worlds. And that's what they're talking about in heavenly places, because it's an area, a space where the enemy rules through and tries to control us to gain what he wants to do, what he wants to happen. Basically, you know, as we know, it's to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal, and anybody that he can get a hold of. So, anyways, those are some of the verses in different translations. So let's get to the meat of this. This famous verse describes the spiritual battle that exists in the lives of believers. It does so perhaps better than any other words in Scripture. So Paul, now you got to understand this. This is the Ephesians. This is in this place, in this area that he was at. This is a letter that he was sending to the Ephesians, because in that area it was such, best way to describe it, it was such a demonic place. People were worshiping all different kinds of gods, sacrificing all different kinds of things. Even sex was considered a part of a sacrifice that they would use. So they were dealing, when he was in that area, then people that were Christians that were living in that area were battling against the dark forces that were there. So that's basically the whole book of Ephesians is dealing with them in this era. But this particular verse is him giving them a description of what is happening. So he says here, Paul affirms, our battle is indeed spiritual and not physical. The enemies we face ultimately are not people or objects. The devil may use those as part of his attack, but our true opponent is not other people, it is sin. So we need to realize that, you know, when you see somebody doing something or acting a certain way or being a certain way, it's not them. It's the influence of the enemy that's upon them. You know, people get angry, when they get mad, when you see people fighting. You definitely know that God doesn't do that. God is not that kind of an individual that would want you to do these things. It's an influence of the enemy. And he's the nudger. He's like, come on, get, you know, make it happen some more. There you go. You know, so we need to understand that as we're walking through this world, we're always trying to be influenced by him to do the wrong thing. And so our battle is sin. And as Christians, we understand through the teachings of Christ of what those sins are and what we need to be battling against. Second, Paul identifies our spiritual enemies. This list is commonly interpreted as a vague list of ranks. So like, we'll just think of like military ranks, you know, commander, general, captain, lieutenant, sergeant, you know, just if you can kind of think of it that way. Within the demonic armies, rulers seems to indicate a top level of evil spiritual forces. Authorities refers to general forces or evil attacking believers, and cosmic power seems to refer to the worldwide nature of this spiritual battle. Evil in the heavenly places, again, emphasizes a battle beyond this world. And a spiritual battle can occur at all levels, anywhere across the world and beyond. The believer must be prepared for all types of attacks through putting on the armor of God, as Paul describes, and I like to say prescribes. That, and like I said, that's a whole other thing. I did a teaching on that, so if you can go back to the archives and see that, you'll see that I put a teaching on this. But again, I'm pointing this verse out again to show you how there's a layer that is a corruptible layer in the heavens that influences people to be a certain way and do certain things. So we know that God influences people in certain ways to do certain things. And as believers, we will always move in the way of what God desires and wants, because we use his word as an example to become what he wants us to do and to be utilized outwardly in our lives and what we do. So your politician, you just size it up right there. Where is his influence coming from? What is motivating him to be, or her, to be that person that endorses this particular situation or this particular outlook. You know, I'm trying to skate it right here, but I'm just trying to give you an understanding of that. The what influence do you want sitting in that seat of power in your town, your city, your state, your country? What influence do you want influencing that individual? So as a Christian, you should be able to pinpoint it down, figure it out, lock it down, who you need to be voting for. Again, like I was saying, that's where I'm emphasizing on this. So again, we're going to go ahead and read it again, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we're going to break some of this down. And so wrestle. It says, wrestle or struggle, which is a term used in hand-to-hand combat. Struggling or wrestling features trickery or deception, like Satan and his host when they attack. Coping with deception, deceptive temptations requires truth and righteousness. And that's just, simple as it gets. As long as you're with God and you're following his teachings, you're doing what you have to do as a Christian, you'll have truth and you'll be right with God. Righteousness is that, is being right with God. And when you're in that position, you've already got your armor already started, strapped down and good to go. When I see truth and righteousness, those are part of it's part of the armor. And it's a reinforcement to know that this is how we cope with what he's trying to do to us. We already went over the four designations described. And then it says, Paul here reminds his readers that the struggles, that Christian struggles is not only against Satan himself, but also against a host of demons, subordinates, and vast array of adversaries who, like the devil, are not flesh and blood. Our greatest enemy is not the world we see, corrupt and wicked as it is, but the world we cannot see. And that's what we're talking about right here. That's what this whole verse is talking about, is that, I'll say it again, is that in-between layer that happens where we are influenced one way or the other. And then how we combat that influence is wherever we need to go with it. And not against flesh and blood. And flesh and blood should be straight and forward. That is a human being. You know, that's us. And you could go to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 to get that understanding. Spiritual wickedness. This possibly refers to the most depraved abominations, including such things as extreme sexual perversion, occultism, and Satan worship. So spiritual wickedness, that kind of gives you an idea of where that's coming from. In high places, this refers to the entire realm of the spiritual being. And rulers, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual rulers describe the different strata and ranking of those demons and the evil supernatural empire in which they operate. Human beings who promote paganism, the occult, and various other ungodly and immoral movements and programs are but subordinates of Satan and his demons, trapped by sin into unwittingly helping to fulfill his scheme. So it's you know, again, if you're open, if you're someone that's not a believer and full of the Holy Spirit, you're open to whatever he has to do. Now, the one thing people like to say is, well, I'm a good person. Well, if good isn't God, it's, there's no good in that. You can be as good as you want to be, but as long as God is not involved in that good, you might as well call it bad. So there, you need to understand that, again, you're dealing with a realm that is dealing with two principles, good and evil. There's no middle ground in that. And that middle ground is where where our adversary, Jesus, and the devil, that comes to persecute us. That's where that battleground is happening in it for us. And again, it's we need to be Either surrendered to the Lord, and if we're not surrendered to the Lord, we're subjected to whatever the enemy wants to do. Now, you could take things and look back at things that have happened in the past, and where you see people were like, "Oh my God, what? You know, why? How did this person do this? Such a thing, this horrific thing?" And I don't understand. You know, he was a good person. They weren't in Christ. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They can be influenced to do very bad things. Simple as that. The demonic categories are not explained, but the rulers no doubt reflect the high order of demons linked with authorities. And you could go to Colossians 2:15, powers. And another rank mentioned in 1 Peter 3:22, and world forces of darkness perhaps refers to the demons who have infiltrated various political systems of the world, attempting to pattern them after Satan's realm of darkness. Now, when I see that, when I read that and I put that together, it said perhaps world forces of this darkness perhaps refers to demons who have infiltrated various political systems of this world. I think of, we can go back in past history, you know, with the thing that happened with Hitler. Obviously, that wasn't godly. Obviously, a lot of things that he was trying to do were not godly. If you look at it again from good and evil, you could tell that was an evil plane. He was being influenced. That whole, the people that were involved in all that were being influenced by the enemy, by Satan and his legions. We could take that in today's term. I look at China as an example of that. I mean, you could see a nation that where people are oppressed and suppressed. That even like the word of God for them to have the actual Bible itself that we have, that we take for granted, they don't have that. And the biggest problem that they're having out there right now is that the communist government is actually retranslating the Bible to fit their narrative of how they want people to understand Christianity. So, I mean, that, you know, they're rewriting it for the benefit of themselves, because the people that are in power right now there understand the significance of the gospel. They understand how it can change a person's heart and give them an influence and a power. They understand that, because why? They are influenced by an evil source. That evil source is giving them the information to show, if you want to keep what we got going here going good, you got to get this God, this religion, these gospels, we got to get it all changed around so it benefits what we're trying to do over here. So you see, I'm saying that he's saying we're, because he's a part of what China is doing. And I agree with any government that is out there oppressing any people from being able to go and worship as they want to. Sorry, just regathering. And then you can go to Daniel 10:13 and then Colossians 1:13 for a more in-depth look at that. The spiritual forces of wickedness are possibly those demons who are involved in the most wretched and vile immoralities, such as extremely perverse sexual proactive and the occult, Satan worship, and the likes. Paul's purpose is not to explain the details of the demonic hierarchy, but to give us some idea of the sophistication and the power. So here's that's another good thing to look at. We're not talking about a little devil on your shoulder, a little angel on your shoulder. This isn't a cartoon. This isn't fantasy. This is a reality. And as they're saying, the sophistication of the power, you think of anything that has a government to it, there is a sophistication into that power of government. And the devil definitely has a demonic government that he works from and works out of. And he has hierarchy that is set up just like any government to do and his bidding and his influencing that's out there. We are pitted against an incredibly evil and potent enemy. But our need is not to specifically recognize every feature of our adversary, but to turn to God, who is our powerful and trustworthy source of protection and victory. So as a Christian, we already know that when we are turned to Christ, we've got the protection of him from all this, because that's the influence of the enemy. Is his influence isn't there anymore, but he tempts us. That is where he is at with us. He will put things in front of us that will try to get us off course. He will put things and situations in front of us that try to divert us or harm us, or, you know, take us off our track with the Lord. You know, it could be a simple thing. Is like, are you really getting anything out of, you know, going to church? Are you really getting anything, you know, out of that Bible? Is it really helping you? You know, and I truly believe, as a true Christian, a believer, as you're moving through your walk with him, you're gonna start seeing things happening in your life. Not only you, but it's always great to see other things happening in other people's life, because it encourages you, it gives you strength, it gives you boldness to know, like, no, God is working. I see this. He's allowing me to see this as a testimony into myself to understand that things are truly, really happening. And the more you envelop that and bring that to your heart, the less he has the ability to influence you on areas that you've had a problem with on your spiritual walk. And as soon as you grab the realities of those things that happen through other people's testimonies or your testimonies, and you hold on to them, it's a part of your armor. It's a part of your shield that you have that keeps that enemy at bay from coming at you in that direction. Now, given he's going to find another way to try to come at you, because there's so many things that, you know, I'm 55 years old and I've been only with the Lord for about, well, almost 3 years now. And there's a lot of past in me that he likes to bring up and try to use on me and influence me and change me and help me move my mind into a different direction. So he's still got an arsenal against me, but I know if I got God and Jesus Christ in my heart and the Holy Spirit guiding and directing me, the Holy Spirit's always going to say, hey, turn me in the direction that I need to go in, or shut it off, turn it off, move away from it, whatever it is. I know I'm protected. I know I have a protection from God around me. And so, but to turn to God, who is our powerful and trustworthy source and protection and victory. Several activities in the Bible may involve demons. Sometimes they cause physical diseases or mental suffering. However, not all mental disorders are demonic in origin. Demons also tempt people into immoral practices. They originate and propagate false doctrines taught by demons. So this is basically what they're talking about here is that when people do get sick, it's not always necessarily that it's an attack of the enemy. It's a lot of it is circumstantial, but we do know that any sicknesses or that diseases that are of this world, they don't come from God. So don't blame God for any sicknesses or whatever you have or know someone has have. It doesn't come from it. It comes from the enemy. And the thing I've learned through time is that once you're with Christ and you're following through Christ, all that stuff, you could still have things that are happening to you, but the overall picture that you need to focus on and know is this, is that even if you have something, even if it's going to take you down, even if it's going to bring you to death, all that's going to happen from that point forward is you're going to be promoted. You get a promotion, you're going to heaven. So as believers, we have a comfort in knowing that if something does happen to us, if any form of sickness that brings us to a point of death, we are comforted knowing that our Lord and Savior, because we brought ourselves to the Lord, we are saved, and knowing that we are going to heaven, we have a forefront knowledge of, like, no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. And then the false doctrines, they're out there. I mean, you can see it even inside of the churches themselves, where they're picking and choosing how to teach the believers that are out there in their church. Some people really skate around some really tough things. You know, sin is sin. No matter how you slice it and dice it, sin is sin. And if you're not holding truth to the doctrine of the Bible, and you're not allowing your people to have that full word to deal with it, or teaching them the full word to deal with it, you're part of that. You're part of the false doctrines that are out there. And although demons are committed to do evil, God will use them to accomplish his plan during the end ages. And that's in Revelation 16:14. So I just know that God does use the dark side to help move the kingdom in the direction that he needs it to go into. You don't want to be on that area. I wouldn't want it. I've seen people that have had things happen with them that have brought them so low and so far down. Them knowing Christ and knowing the right decisions that they should have made, to be taken down to that road. And I'm just saying, even for myself, that's what ended up happening with me, because I knew there was influences around me that were trying to chase me to do something I didn't want to do. Well, try to chase me to do something. My mind wasn't in the right place about it. And I, you know, if I wouldn't have done what I did at the moment in time, or basically the best way to say it is that if I didn't have the Holy Spirit move in such a way in my life in that time frame, I would have went somewhere where I didn't want to go. And but fortunately, God had a different plan for me. So he straightened me out that with those influences to get back on track with him and to really hold tight. And that's where I'm at right now. Do we need a break, sister?
Yeah, would now be a good time for some prayer requests, sure. Brother. Sure.